do we know that there is a difference between happiness and joy? How do we know when it's just that we're happy or if we truly do have that deep emotion of joy? Before we explore the answer to that question, I need a favor from someone. I don't carry cash. Does anybody have $7 you would be willing to let me borrow or have for the sermon? I'm serious. Like, I know sometimes I ask rhetorical questions, but this morning, if you would just walk down here in the center and bring me your $7, I would be very grateful. Thank you, Josh. You're on staff. You're afraid not to, aren't you? Sorry. Josh wins major brownie points for bringing me $7. There's a point to this $7. I think I'll tell you a story in a little while about $7, and then we can all ask ourselves every day, do we have $7? I want us to think about, what do we do at night when we get ready to go to bed? I hope we brush our teeth. That's like one of those, you know, fundamental rudimentary practices. And so when you brush your teeth, typically in front of a sink, what's hanging on the wall? A mirror. So, you know, we're brushing, and we look in the mirror, and we see ourselves. So today, as we listen to the message, I want you to think about what it's like at night when you're brushing your teeth and how beautiful it looks as you look in at yourself in the mirror. And then I'm going to teach us a question that we can all ask. If the answer to that question is yes, I think regardless of how crappy the day has been, no matter how bad things were at work or how severed things seem in a relationship, how much the checkbook just doesn't reconcile with the money that we need, when we look in the mirror at night and we ask ourselves this question and we can answer yes, then we will know that the words that Jesus said, which were, I have come so that you may have joy, and my joy in you, your joy, may be complete. That was one of the messages of Christ. I have come, I have walked on this earth so that you may have joy, and my joy in you, your joy, may be complete. When we can answer yes to the mystery question, you'll know that you have joy. Happiness is fleeting, but joy is sustaining. I know that because back in early June, I received a phone call from one of the parishioners of West, Mary Nanny. A parishioner is a fancy church word for someone who goes to church at the church that you're the pastor. I usually don't use churchy words. So a parishioner is somebody that goes to church. You are parishioners. I got a phone call from a lady named Mary Nanny, and she is a part of the West community, and she asked me if I could come visit she and her husband. He has also been a part of the West community, and he received some bad news from the doctor a few weeks before, and it seemed that his health had taken a turn for the worse. And so we were talking about when I could go. I ended up going on a Saturday evening after we celebrated a wedding for David and Allison Stoltfus. So it had been this beautiful afternoon full of joy. And then I went to the nanny home. And, you know, anytime I go into a pastoral care situation where I know that emotions are at a heightened sense, I go into it with prayer. I pray before I ever get there that God will use me to be the right words and the right presence, because certainly I don't have answers, especially facing times of impending death, and that's what the situation was. I went to visit with the nanny family that evening, and as I shared in his celebration of life service this week, wow, being with them was more them ministering to me, I believe, than me saying any, you know, deep theologically rooted words of wisdom for them. And I had the pleasure, and this is how I know that joy is real and happiness is fleeting, but joy is real and it sustains us and is the foundation. It is the foundational emotion on which we can build. Don, Mr. Nanny Don, said to me, I want to tell you one thing. I said, yes, sir. Don't call me sir. I said, okay, yes. And he said, I want you to know that I have no regrets. And I remember thinking, sitting there, wow, I wonder what it will be like if I find out that my time here on earth is coming to an end. Will I be able to sit back and say and look at my life and the relationships that I have and say, you know what, I've loved all of my life and I have no regrets. Friends, that's joy. That's knowing that we have joy. Does that mean that Don's life was never without pain? No. In fact, he had been battling health concerns for years. Yet he never let that override his foundational emotion of joy, which was grounded in his faith. There's a reason, I believe, and it's scriptural, that he had joy, and that Christ's joy in him was made complete, and it's because he lived his life loving other people. Don's son, Jeff, is also a part of our service. Jeff, he's known as Moose to many of you. He stood up and gave testimony to his dad's life, and he talked about all the many ways that his dad had secretly or privately given to other people. And then Moose's brother Mike stood up and gave testimony to his dad's life and opened up the floor for comments. Mike and Jeff and Mary and I had talked about that and whether or not it would work or not work. And Mike did such a beautiful job guiding the conversation. He said, you know, we're going to do this for about 5 to 10 minutes. And I just want to know, do any of you have any stories about my dad that you want to share? Mike had no idea, the family had no idea what people would stand up to say. I didn't either, so I was listening keenly, and the one consistent thread that was through all of the testimonies of Don's life was that he lived a life of joy and generosity to others. He never put himself first, ever. He either put his family first or his friends first or complete strangers first. Here's the mystery question for this morning. Here's the question I want you to, if you've fallen asleep by now, I want you to wake up and listen to for just a second. The question is, when you stand in front of the mirror at night, if I ask my mirror, is the world a better place today because I was in it? Think that question in your mind with me again now as I say it out loud. Is the world a better place today because I am in it? And now I want you to say it with me. We don't normally do the whole talk with the preacher thing, but today I want us to. Ready on three. 1, 2, 3. Is the world a better place today because I am in it? You don't have to be a part of the back-to-school bash to answer yes. I want you to try something with me as I pick up my Bible and get ready to read the scripture passage to you today. I want you to smile. This looks a little silly, I understand. Do it, please. I can't tell if you're doing it, so you can laugh at me, but we're going to do this long enough. I want it to be uncomfortable for you, and I want you to feel just a little silly. As you're smiling, I want to tell you that therapists, counselors will tell you that if you want to feel happy, smile for 2 minutes. If you want to sound like an absolute moron, talk while you try to smile. For real. If you smile for 2 minutes, studies show that it changes something inside of you. For the past 5 to 6 weeks, we've been looking at the biblical story of one of the forefathers of faith. He is one who knew all the ups and downs of all emotions. He knew sadness, he knew anger, He knew fear, he knew disgust, and he also knew joy. His name was David. He started out as a little shepherd boy that if you were going to vote on he and all his brothers as to who would be the most likely to succeed, he would have been voted least likely to succeed. His picture would not have been in the high school yearbook. But yet he is the one who spoke up because he used what could have been as fear. He used it to go deep within himself and rely on his faith and a power that was bigger than his human gifts. And he used that bravery and courage instead of fear, knowing that he had some gifts to use to maybe make the world a better place. So when they were looking for someone to fight this enemy army giant named Goliath, David spoke up and said, "Pick me." Rather than give in to his fear that the opponent was bigger than he was, he spoke up and he led the Israelite army's way to victory. And then, despite the jealousy and the anger and the fear of the very king, his mentor, that had chosen him to be the heir to the throne, despite all those negative emotions and those emotions he had within himself, angry at the way he was being treated unfairly, sadness when his best friend was killed tragically in battle, and disgust at knowing, you know, "Look, dude, I've given you all that I have. I left my family. I was your music guy. I sat around and played for you. And then you're trying to kill me the next day. I did all that. And here I am." And Saul's best friend, or Saul's son, was David's best friend and his covenant soulmate. And when Jonathan was killed, David, he was sad. But all those things he put behind him, all the negative emotions, and then he experienced some different types of negative emotions. He became powerful and in charge. He wooed Bathsheba, a beautiful sunbathing woman across the way. He impregnated her. In order to deal with that, he had her husband killed. That'd be a little bit of a rule breaker. He had some issues. When he became powerful and mighty, his ego took over and he used it to hurt other people. But then because of some other circumstances that happened in his life, his baby son fell ill. And David recognized that in that time of mourning and prayer and searching and seeking for God to intervene on behalf of his dying son, he recognized that he had barriers in his own life to connecting with the oneness and the presence of God. And so lying on the floor and crying in his own sadness, he recognized that in order to have joy, he had to work through that sadness and that grief. He could not allow his grief to make him angry. He could not allow his grief to make him lash out at others around him. He had to walk through it. And so when his son finally died, he got up, he anointed himself with oil, and he went about the work of leading the kingdom of Israel, which was ultimately the kingdom of God. He lived through all the emotions. We can live through every single emotions, not just the happy ones, the sad ones, the fearful ones, the angry ones, the guilty ones, the shameful ones as well. That's why we've done this whole message series. No, it hasn't exactly been a real pick-me-up. However, I mean, I was depressed by last Sunday. I'm like, my goodness, I need a happy day. But the psalmist David wrote, "Darkness, Darkness will exist for the night. We're all, every single one of us in this room or worshiping online or via podcast, we are all going to live through darkness and anger and disgust and fear and shame and sadness. But joy, real joy, not happiness, but joy, it comes in the morning. Now, you just heard the whole story, basically, of David's life, and then, you know, his whole kingdom went up and down, up and down. But listen to this passage from 2 Samuel 23. Here are the last words of David, son of Jesse, the words of the one raised up, the anointed one of Jacob's true God, the sweet songwriter of Israel. The Spirit of the Eternal speaks through me. His voice emerges from my mouth. The God of Israel has talked to me, and the Rock of Israel said, one who rules people with justice and who leads them in the reverence of God. That one, God, is like the morning light, the sun rising on a cloudless morning and the shining grasslands brought up from the rain. The wicked are like thorns cut off and tossed away. No, if you touch them, use the iron tip of the shaft of a spear, and they'll be burned upon the spot. Isn't this how God has raised up my house? Because God has made a perpetual covenant with me. Won't he make all things grow and prosper? He will save me and give me what my heart desires. David wasn't talking about material things. He was not lusting after a boat or a bigger house. His heart desired joy. It's when we have joy that we feel peace. It's when we have joy that we can look in the mirror at night and know that no matter how bad that day was, if we have lived it just trying to be a better person, then that joy of Christ is in us and it's complete. You see, Christians, of which I am one, sometimes we have a checklist. We think that we have to do this many good acts, we have to give this much money, we have to attend Sunday school, we have to be in a small group, we have to do all these things. Over this past week, I had several folks say to me, I'm so sorry, I can't be at Bash. I'm like, you don't need to apologize to me. That's one thing. It's just one thing that we do. It is a big thing. Please don't get me wrong. However, it is just one thing. If you smile, remember the 2-minute smile? If you smile at somebody walking in the grocery store, someone you do not know that is a complete stranger, if you smile at them, then you are living out the joy of Christ, which lives in each of us, and you can at the end of the day say, I have lived in such a way that the world is a better place because I am in it. There is no magical checklist that you have to check off knowing that you are not good enough if you don't have 5 out of 7 boxes filled. That's not God. There's no magical checklist. The checklist is, do we live in such a way that we have joy in us and that at the end of the day, we can answer the question, I have lived in such a way today that the world is a better place because I am in it. If you can do that, if you have smiled at some complete stranger, if you've held the door for someone and shown that generosity and acts of kindness are not dead, chivalry is not dead in the year 2015. If you can answer those simple questions, then you can say the world is a better place today because I am a part of it. As your pastor, it is my calling, it is my lot in life to lead us along the way. So if you're at the place where holding the door open and smiling is your way of being kind and making the world a better place, then yay. My job is to offer us lots of pathways to doing that. Buying food at the grocery store for the students of Third Creek and bringing that food once a month here so that we don't have to spend money to buy the food. That's a way of being filled with joy. How can you show joy at work? How can you make the world a better place at work? How can your words live true to actions that are born out of joy. John Wesley, the founding father of Methodism, said life, really life with God, boils down to three simple rules. Do no harm. Do good. And stay in love with God. Do no harm does not necessarily mean that it's not what I think I should do. It means that we have to look at everything we do from the eyes of the other person. That's what the whole beatitude, blessed are the merciful, for theirs is the kingdom of God. That's what that means. We can't just think about how I feel right now. To walk like Jesus, to live like Christ, to be full of joy, we have to look at the others. How will that person think and feel when I smile at them and I don't know them? Maybe they'll show them that I'm not afraid to look a stranger in the eye and extend a look of love and grace. There are lots of ways that we can do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. On Friday, my job for the bash this year, thanks to Bonnie and Lane, my job was pretty minuscule, and I loved it. I was in charge of ordering. I was in charge of shopping. So if you know me, you know that that is like my sweet spot. I don't care if it is, you know, 14 billion highlighters, which I did make one slight math error, not that many, but we did have lots of highlighters yesterday. But my role for Bash was shopping. I bought the school supplies and I bought the tennis shoes, my other personal vice. And so on Friday, it was the final count for shoes. We had counted everything. We knew what we had. And we also know that when those parents fill out their online registration, it's 3 months from that point in time. Their children's feet have sometimes grown. So we always have to have a pad of shoes. We have to. We need at least 10 to 15 extra pair in every single size, or we run out, and then that's just not pretty. That happened the first and second year. We said it should never happen again. So I recruited someone to go with me to Walmart on Friday to buy approximately 150 pair of shoes. I didn't think it was that many until you put all those in a buggy. They don't all fit. We had to have two. We looked bizarre. And you know, that's the only part about this that sometimes I don't like, because people stare at me and I don't like to be stared at, you know, and then the weird comments come, so you like to run? I'm like, well, yes, I do. I'm a marathon runner, can't you tell? We were standing there and both of the carts were filled to the rim with shoes. So much so that some of the shoppers were trying to shop out of the cart. I'm like, no, no, no. Please don't. These are counted. A lady walked up to my co-shopper and she said, what's this for? Well, the co-shopper has a little bit of sarcasm in her life as well, so she wanted to say that I had a lot of children. She said that something just moved her to not be sarcastic this one time. And she said, well, we do this thing, we're a part of this thing called the Back to School Bash. It's the Mooresville Lake Norman community, and we open it up to all the students in the Mooresville Graded Schools and the southern end of the county, ISS, Iredell County Schools, and we have about 1,200 that are registered, 1,300 that are registered, and we give away, you know, free tennis shoes and free school supplies to the kids. But it's in a fun way so that no one has to feel lesser than to come and receive. And I'm a part of one of the churches that's a part of this. She said the lady commended her and said, well, that's really nice. That's really cool that you guys do that. And she walked away. A few minutes later, the lady came back. And this is what she had in her hands. She had tears streaming down her face. And she said, this is all I have to give to your cause. But please accept this from me. because I think what you're doing is really great. There are going to be times in your life that this is all you have. $7. I call them $7 tears because I don't think that day her tears were of sadness. I think instead her tears were those of joy. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the church in Rome, he said, "Love others well and don't hide behind a mask. Love authentically. Despise evil and pursue what is good as if your life depends on it. Live in true devotion to one another, loving each other as sisters and brothers." And if you don't like your sisters and brothers, then fill in the blank a different way right there. Guess what? There's no excuse for not loving one another, because you see, Jesus told us, live and honor others by putting them first. So that means we open the door for other people. It means we smile at complete strangers. It means that perhaps some of the things we wish we could say, we just hold back a little. It means that we always look at it from the eyes of those that we impact and not our own. If we'll do those things, then when we stand in front of the mirror at night, regardless of how dark and oppressive and sad and fearful and disgusting life seems, we will be able to look in the mirror and answer the question, is the world a better place because I am in it? Yes, because I did. And here's the end of the story. I did the very best I could today. Just today, the best I've got, $7. It's all she had. Jesus tells a story about that. The widow's mite, you know, she didn't have a whole bunch. She gave what she could. If a smile is all you can give today, then just give a smile. The world will be a better place because you and I are in it. That, my friends, is how we have joy. Let us pray. Loving God, God of peace and God of hope and God of light and God of joy, you carry us through every negative emotion that we feel, and you use us to be the light of life, the joy of Christ in others. May we all look in the mirror tonight and be able to answer that the world is a better place because we're in it. There's no checklist. We all just have to look for our own $7 and give it to someone else. And then may the joy of Christ be in us and may it be complete. Thank you for leading the way. In Christ's name, amen. I invite you to stand and sing.
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. Still to be done in this city. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. For greater things have yet to come. Greater things are soon to be done in this city. For greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city.
We each have $7. Let us choose and let us look within our own lives at where our $7 is, and then let us dig a little deeper, pull it out, and use it for joy. $7 isn't about money. It's about the way that we live our lives. May you go in peace and hope and joy now and forever. Go pet a puppy. Amen.